This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 9, entitled Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy, text number 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tvam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita Hrit Saroja. Asheshu Tekshita Pato Nanunatta Pumsham. Yad Yad Diyata Urugaya Bibhavayanti. Tat Tad Vapupanayase Sadanugrahaya. Report. The statement here that the Lord manifests himself before the devotee in the form in which the devotee likes to worship him indicates that the Lord becomes subordinate to the desire of the devotee, so much so that he manifests his particular form as the devotee demands. This demand of the devotee is satisfied by the Lord because he is pliable in terms of the transcendental loving service of the devotee. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4:11. Ye yata mam prapadyante tamstataiva vajamyaham. We should note, however, that the Lord is never the order supplier of his devotee. Here in this verse, it is particularly mentioned, tam bhakti yoga paribhavitaha. This indicates the efficiency achieved through execution of matured devotional service or prema, love of God. The state of prema is achieved by the gradual process of development from faith to love. On faith, one associates with bona fide devotees, and by such association, one can become engaged in bona fide devotional service, which includes proper initiation and the execution of the primary devotional duties prescribed in the revealed scriptures. This is clearly indicated herein by the word shutekshita. The shutekshita path is to hear from bona fide devotees who are conversant with Vedic wisdom, freed from mundane sentiment. By this bona fide hearing process, the neophyte devotee becomes cleansed of all material rubbish, and thus he becomes attached to one of the many transcendental forms of the Lord as described in the Vedas. This attachment of the devotee to a particular form of the Lord is due to natural inclination. Each and every living entity is originally attached to a particular type of transcendental service because he is eternally the servitor of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya says that the living entity is eternally a servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Therefore, every living entity has a particular type of service relationship with the Lord eternally. This particular attachment is invoked by the practice of regulative devotional service to the Lord, and thus the devotee becomes attached to the eternal form of the Lord, exactly like one who is already eternally attached. This attachment for a particular form of the Lord is called Swarup Siddhi. The Lord sits on the lotus heart of the devotee in the eternal form the pure devotee desires, and thus the Lord does not part from the devotee as confirmed in the previous verse. The Lord, however, does not disclose himself to a casual or inauthentic worshiper simply to be exploited. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7:25, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yogamaya Samanvritaha. Rather, by yogamaya, the Lord remains concealed to the non-devotees or casual devotees who are serving for their own sense gratification. The Lord is never visible to the pseudo-devotees who worship the demigods in charge of universal affairs. The conclusion is that the Lord cannot become the order supplier of a pseudo-devotee, but he is always prepared to respond to the desires of a pure, unconditional devotee who is freed from all the tinges of material infection. Oma gyan timirandasya ginangina shalakaya chaksunimiditam jenatasmai sigurave namah. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Svabhadanti Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. This is a very beautiful verse today, with a very eloquent and important and instructive purport by our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, enlightening us into the subtleties of Krishna consciousness or pure devotional service to the Lord. In this verse today, Lord Brahma reveals the process for seeing God. He says, Shruta Ikshita means that the Lord can be seen through the ears, as we've heard many times. A saintly person, an aspiring transcendentalist, an aspiring devotee of the Lord in particular, he sees not through his eyes, but he sees through his ears. This is the process of hearing from a bona fide spiritual authority. Not that we hear the subject matter from just anyone and everyone, but we hear the subject matter from the authority. Tadviri paripatena paripashana sevaya upadekshanti te ginam ghaninash tattvadarshana. Tattvadarshis. Darsha, darshis come from darshana, to see, tattva, from those who have seen the truth. From them only we hear the process of devotional service. Certainly not the materialistic person, neither even a jogi or a jnani, but a devotee of the Lord. In particular, a pure unalloyed devotee of the Lord, who is the proper transparent via medium through which the message of Godhead can be spoken and the Lord can eventually be revealed. This process of shruta ikshita, this comes as good news to the devotees, because devotees in their heart of hearts are always anxious to have darshan of their ishtadeva. Ishtadeva means that particular form of the Lord whom you are desirous of seeing, you are desirous of realizing, and most important, you are desirous of worshiping, serving. It also answers the perennial challenge of the materialists or atheists. They say, if there's God, then show him to me. Their philosophy, of course, is that seeing is believing. And we say, yes, my dear materialistic person, my dear atheist, you can see God just like you can see me standing before you, but not through your present materialized, sir. If you want to see God, you have to see God with your spiritual senses, which are awoken through the process of devotional service. This verse answers It serves the desire of the devotee who wants to one day see the Lord. It also answers the challenge of the materialist. If there's God, show me God. Yes, sir, we're prepared to show you God. Are you prepared to accept the process wherein he can be seen? So you have to hear from authority. Just like one time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was lecturing on the Bhagavatam, and nearby the conch blew, indicating the artik was about to start. In most of the Gaudiya Math temples, they have their lecture hall and they have their darshan hall. In our temples, Prabhupada established it that we have our temple, we have our class in our temple, and then there's also the altars in the temple and the deities. So we finish class, we stand up and receive the deities. But a lot of the Gaudiya Math temples, they have their hall for the lecturing and they have their temple room. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was lecturing, and during the lecture, the conch shell blew, indicating that the curtain was to open, the deities to give darshan. So, in the middle of his lecture, when the conch blew, several of his disciples stood up, and they left the lecture, and they went nearby into the temple room, and Govind, of course they didn't have Govindam, but I don't know what they have, but curtain open, and there's a darshan of Radha and Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, etc. And they came back and they sat down in a lecture. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in order to instruct them and the rest of his disciples and all of us and the whole world, he stopped the lecture. And he said to them, "Where have you been? O Guru Maharaj, we have gone to the temple to have darshan, to see the Lord." He became very angry. He said, "You have only seen stone. If you want to see God, you sit here and you hear from me." Because ultimately this is how God is revealed to the devotee through the process of hearing. How is it then that we are going to the temple and having darshan? We're going in just like those young devotees, they went to the temple room and they were looking at the form of the Lord. So we're also doing, but we're understanding the form of the Lord through hearing from the spiritual master. We don't see stone because we hear from our spiritual master. "My dear Lord, you are not a statue. You are directly the son of Maharaj Nanda." That's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when the young Brahmana boy came back from Orissa to ask the Lord, to act as witness in that court case where the elder Brahma had promised in front of the deity, "I shall give you my daughter in marriage when we get back to Orissa because you've served me so nicely." So there was some family dispute and he went back on his word. So the boy came back to Vrindavan and he stood in front of the statue, quote unquote, and he began speaking, revealing his heart just as if he was in front of Krishna. "My dear Lord, you are not a statue, you are directly the son of Maharaj Nanda." And Prabhupada has explained to us on so many occasions how the Lord can transform matter into spirit and spirit into matter. That is not difficult for him. The Lord is the Archa-Vigraha, the merciful incarnation of the Lord. Krishna comes and goes, deity stays for hundreds or thousands or millions of years to receive our prayers, to receive our offerings, to purify our senses, to awaken life. So like that, because we've heard from Guru first, then we go to the temple room, we can understand. So Lord cannot be understood with our present material senses. He can only be understood when we've awakened our spiritual senses through the process of hearing. So we say to the atheists, we say to those who are challenging, "Show me God." "Yes, sir, we can show you God. But are you prepared to accept the process by which you can see him? Because as it is now, one of the basic tenets of our philosophy is you cannot perceive Krishna with these gross material senses. These are very gross senses. They're not very refined. They're not very subtle. They're basically for this nasty business of sense gratification. That's all. We shouldn't be proud of this body. This body has been given to us. I was going to say awarded to us, but it's not a reward. It's a punishment for our rebelliousness to try to enjoy separately from the Lord. It's quite a humorous affair to see how the living entity tries to imitate God in this material, with this gross material body. We have traded our spiritual body, which is Satchidananda Vigraha, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, for this body, which is temporary, full of ignorance and suffering. These senses don't come close to the glory of our spiritual senses. They're basically just for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That's about all you can do with them. Not good for anything elevated, noble, transcendental, Krishna conscious. They're just like the senses of all the other 8,400,000. Nothing to be proud of. They can't perceive the divine, blissful form of the Lord, which gives great ecstasy to the pure devotees of the Lord. Because the pure devotees have awoken their dormant spiritual nature, awoken their love for God, awoken their spiritual senses, they can see Krishna. One time, Srila Prabhupada came back from an engagement with his secretary, Tamal Krishna Goswami, and they walked into Prabhupada's room, and at that time, Prabhupada had a small set of Radha Krishna deities. And as they walked into the room, Prabhupada was struck. He said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, "Look how nicely Radha and Krishna are dancing." Goswami Maharaj is looking. Prabhupada said, if you see these deities as brass, they will remain brass to you forever. But if you see through Shastra, if you see through the eyes of sadhus, if you hear from the sadhus, and you worship those deities accordingly, one day those deities will speak to you. But with the material senses, sir, you are challenging, you're not going to be able to see. They're very limited. They're imperfect. Prabhupada writes in a purport, what is the value of these eyes? With our eyes, when we look at the sun, what do we see? We see a small disk in the sky. With our imperfect vision, we may conclude, like people did in the old days, it's just a little disk in the sky. When in fact, it's a very giant globe. With our ears, what can we hear? Our hearing is limited, even with the best hearing aids. Due to lots of kirtan during the last 36 years, I'm an example of someone who lost their hearing. I lost almost 45% of my hearing because of those big whompers. Excuse me, Jayapataka Swami. Those big whompers, those drums, you know, in the kirtans. Haribo! And now, what? Haribo? What? So then I had to get hearing aids, but by the grace of science, we condemn science, but we use science as well in Krishna's service. So all glory to the scientific inventions which can help us spread Krishna consciousness. Now I have hearing aids, I can hear better than most of you. Yes, they've refined it. Not 20/20 hearing, but 30/30 hearing. I can fine-tune it and turn up the volume. I can hear the sounds that the deer hear in the forest. But even that's limited. Dogs have a very fine sense of hearing, much better than ours. Once I had a friend and he called me next door and he said, "Watch, I'm going to call my dog." So he went on a little pipe. I said, "You're wasting your time. How are you going to call your dog? There's no sound coming." All of a sudden, whoop, 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 the dog came. I was just a kid, like 10. How'd you do that? I thought it was something mystical. No, it's a little whistle that you blow, a very shrill sound of a decibel that only the dog's ears can pick up because they have a more refined sense of hearing. I said, "Let me hear." Couldn't hear a thing. Because our senses are limited. Similarly, our nose. What can we perceive with our nose? We have some sense for smelling, but animals, some animals have a more refined. So we know the philosophy. We learn this in day one of the first day of the Bhakta course. So all the senses are imperfect. So how can they perceive the all-perfect personality of God? They're material. How can the material senses perceive that which is spiritual? Actually, the senses are incapable of even properly understanding matter perfectly. How many material elements are there? There's eight. Earth, air, fire, water, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. How many can you perceive with your gross material senses out of those eight? You can only perceive three. You can perceive earth, you can perceive fire, and you can perceive water. But you can't see air, you can't see ether, you can't see mind, you can't see intelligence, you can't see ego. You may see some symptom of it, false ego. But with your senses, you can't directly perceive. So they're pretty useless even in trying to understand material nature. What to speak of the superior spiritual energy, my dear atheist. So what is our recommendation, sir? You can see God just as you see me standing here. But are you prepared to accept the process? There's a process for understanding anything. You have spiritual senses, just like we have a body means senses. So we have senses because we have a spiritual body. A body means the senses. You can hear, you can see, you can smell, you can taste, you can touch. If those senses are available to you, you can not only see God, you can hear His sweet voice, you can touch His transcendental form, you can smell His intoxicating aroma. Just like Bhaktisananda Saraswati Thakur, he said, we say that Krishna is blue, but the blue that Krishna is not a color of this world. That bluish black like the monsoon cloud, we've seen last night, this morning, the monsoon cloud almost coming because there's this cyclone. So we think, oh yes, Krishna, no. He said, the real blue of Krishna cannot be perceived with the material senses. It can only be perceived with the spiritual senses. Our painters are very expert. There's different shades. And according to the painter, they have their different... No, that's not... The real blue you can see with your spiritual eyes. The real touch you can experience with your spirit. The real smell. Krishna has a smell. It's aguru. You know this aguru. Those of you who are pujaris, you know that oil which we use and we're our shalagrams and putting on the feet of the Lord and the deity. That's the finest, it's the king of all the scents, aguru. Acharyas say that is the scent of Srimati Radharani, that is the scent of Krishna, that is the scent of Gaurangama, aguru. A bottle of aguru oil costs more in weight than does the same weight in gold. And that's the scent of Krishna. That aroma of Krishna sometimes causes some problems for Krishna and his transcendental pastimes. We hear how sometimes Jatila, Kotila at Yavat, they hear how Radharani has left Yavat and she's gone to meet secretly with Krishna. So Kotila leaves the house early in the morning and goes and searches where Krishna may be with Radharani and the gopis. And then the gopis, they have their scouts. So Kotila's coming to interrupt the pastimes. And the gopis, the scouts, they say, Kotila's coming, Kotila. So then Krishna runs and hides. And then Kotila comes and she just sees Radharani and the gopis. And she says, "What? Was Krishna here?" And Radharani goes, no, he's just been out here taking a morning walk with the gopis. And she says, "No. I can smell Shamsundar." The Acharyas say that this aroma of Krishna's transcendental body, whenever he leaves someplace, that aroma lingers around for approximately, Jiva Goswami says, 10 minutes. It creates some problems. Because Kutila, they're coming, and he was here, I can smell him. So we also hanker to smell that aroma of the Lord with our spiritual sense, to see his divine form with our eyes, to touch his transcendental form, to awaken our spiritual senses like that. So how to do it? It's a scientific process, an authorized process, as Srila Prabhupada said. Actually, it's the Lord himself who reveals that to his devotee. He gives us by his mercy. By his mercy he awakens those senses. Because he was so pleased with the devotion of Arjuna, he was pleased to give him the eyes to see his universal form, and subsequently his forearmed form, and eventually his most confidential form, for which we are all aspiring to see and to worship and to serve, his two-armed form is Shamsundar. Natumam shakshaye drashtam ani naiva svachakshusha divyam dadami te chakshu pashyame yogam ashvaram. Because you cannot see me, Arjuna, with your present material senses, therefore I give you divine eyes, behold my mystic opulence. Arjuna wanted to see, like every devotee, he wants to see the various forms of the Lord so that we can serve them. But he couldn't see this Virat Rupa. He couldn't see this particular form. Without the Lord's grace, it was impossible. He didn't have the eyes. He said, with your present senses, your quote-unquote material senses, you cannot see. Therefore, I give you the eyes to see. This was the Lord's special mercy. He gave him that spiritual vision. So we would also like that, some special mercy. Just like as I walk around the grounds here the last few days, so many devotees are coming, please give me a blessing, Maharaj, give me a blessing, give me a blessing. Mostly it's about, you know, anyway, I won't say, that I'll pass my exams, that, you know, we'll conceive a child, or that, you know, my mother will become healthy. No. What are the real blessing we want? Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavicham vada gadishakamaye mama janmani janmani shwari bhavatat bhakti haitiki. Hey, Lord, I have no desire to enjoy money or wealth. I don't want to enjoy the opposite sex. I don't want name and fame. What do I want? Only that I might have your causeless devotional service in my life, Bertha. This is actually what we pray for. We ask a blessing for what? For service. So we can also, like Arjuna, pray to the Lord to be able to see his form. Of course, as Prabhupada mentions in the prayer here, it's the quality of Arjuna's prayer which endeared him to the Lord, by which he revealed that form. It's the attitude, it's the mentality, it's the devotion of the devotee which the Lord responds to, as His Holiness Radhanath Swami is often quoting that shloka from Bhagavad Gita. All of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. It's the nature of that appeal. Not just, Prabhupada said, casual devotional service. Not just casual chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. It's indicative of our inner, this way Prabhupada said, the face is an index of the mind. The quality of a devotee's chanting is indicative of his inner consciousness, his inner desire, his aspirations. We often, and we did earlier, quote Srila Prabhupada in Boston when he was asked, what does this chanting mean, by the guest? Swamiji, what is the meaning of this Maha Mantra? And Prabhupada could have given the standard answer, "My dear Lord, my dear energy of the Lord, please engage me in a devotional service." But to instruct us, give us deeper understanding. He said, what does it mean, this Maha Mantra? This chanting? It means, my friend, my friend, my friend. This is more personal. It's not a mantra in the traditional sense of the word. Ma means mind and tra means to deliver. It's a mind which a sound which delivers our mind from material consciousness. No, it's more like a prayer. It's more in the category of bandhanam. A prayer of the heart. A heartfelt prayer. This is bhakti. It's not just the service we perform. It's the consciousness in which the service performed. Krishna's not obliged. He's not, Prabhupada said, our order supplier. It's not that we do some devotional service and he's obliged to reciprocate. That's karma mivamsa. We do something and Lord's obliged. No, it's not like, he's not our order supplier. He's not captured very easily. He doesn't reveal himself very easily. Because once you've captured him with your love, he becomes subservient to that love. He becomes the servant of his devotee. That is his mercy, the sweetness of that braj bhakti. He doesn't award that very easily. You have to beg for that. Like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj had that book, The Beggar. Begging for the mercy of the holy name. You can only beg sincerely if you've given up all this nasty business. The business of the material senses. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. If you've given up that business, Prabhupada said bhakti begins at the point when we give up sex desire. Then you can begin to understand the adiras. You get a glimpse, and then your chanting takes on a different quality. My friend, not that we chant like that, but we chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Rama, Hare Rama. We would like to see the Lord, as Arjuna saw him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, his Virat Rup. We would like to be embraced by the Lord, such as Hanuman was at the end of all the battle. Ram was pleased. So what would you like, Hanuman? Dasya, Lord, could you just give me a hug? Famous. We would like to be saved like Draupadi at the last moment when the Dushasthan was pulling the sari, and we'd like to be saved, and we'd like to wrestle with Krishna in the soft sands of Ramanmiti. We'd like to perhaps dance with the Lord in Rasalila. We can aspire like that. We can't imitate. But we'd like to be like those devotees, but we have to understand to have that type of reciprocation with the Lord, we have to have the same bhakti as those devotees. Otherwise, it remains just, at this point, an aspiration to be achieved in the future. So we can hope, oh yes, I'd like to see, we'd like Krishna to say, my dear Prabhu, because you cannot see me with your present eyes, I grant you divine eyes. Behold my mystic opulence. We can hope for that. Sometimes it happens. It does. That's called Krishna Kripa. Or sometimes it comes in the form of Guru Kripa. More often it comes in the form of Guru Kripa because we have association with the Lord's representative. Prabhupada said there are times when you can get special mercy. He said, but we shouldn't wait around for that mercy. We should go through the regular process of devotionals. He gives the example, sometimes because a person excels in a particular field of knowledge, a university somewhere wants to award him an honorary degree in literature, an honorary degree in science, an honorary degree, whatever. He didn't actually go to the school, but because somehow he was able to achieve something wonderful in that field, a university gives him an honorary degree. But don't wait around for it. Generally, you have to go to school, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, all the way up to graduation day, then you get it. That's the safe and sure process. Sometimes a devotee receives special mercy. Tomorrow, or the next day, some of us are going to Jagannath Puri. There's one very special deity, very special to the hearts of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the deity of Tota Gopinath, who is discovered, or let us say rediscovered, by the divine lotus hand of Gauranga Mahaprabhu in the sand dunes of Jagannath Puri. He was worshipped by such great stalwarts as Gadadhar Pandit. And we can go there, we can see him in his beautiful, unusual, unique position of sitting. He sat down to favor his devotee Gadadhar Pandit, who was getting old and cannot go and put the garland around. So the Lord, to reciprocate with that loving devotion, he sat down forever to receive the devotion of Gadadhar Pandit. He's in the sitting position. It is said, tradition has it, because there's traditional, there's shastric evidence, there's guru, there's also, we sometimes use the traditional wisdom. It is said in Jagannath Puri that that deity of Tota Gopinath can bestow prema upon a sadhaka. Instead of ado shraddha tata sadhu sangha tabhajana kriya nata niviti syat, instead of going through that gradual, oh, Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like... It can happen. So you can stay there. You can say, oh, Maharaj, I'm not going back to Poland. I'm not going back to Germany. I'm not going back to Mumbai. I'm going to stay here in Tota Gopinath Temple and just wait. Yes, maybe, 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 maybe. But better to accept the regulative process, Prabhupada says here in the purport of devotional service. It's slower, but it's authorized and it works. As we say, slow but sure wins the race. It's authorized. It's been proven to work for hundreds of millions or billions of souls. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, evam janta kritam karma puravar api mumukshibi kuru karma eva tashmatam puravai purvatmakam kritam. As all the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature, you also, Arjuna, should perform your duties following in their footsteps. So the ancients did it and they became liberated. In recent times, we've heard of great devotees being liberated. Even within our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we've heard of devotees going back to Godhead. Our beloved God brother Jayananda Prabhu, he passed away when most devotees were at the Mongol Artik. Actually, I hear he was alone. But he was hearing a tape of Srila Prabhupada chanting Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada wrote him one posthumous letter, which means after someone's departure, after they've died, a letter is written in honor of that person. So Prabhupada said, if you had any material desires, he wrote, then you have gone to Svargalok, where in that particular realm where there's not so many difficulties, you can free yourself of any last tinge of material contamination and promote yourself to Vaikuntha. He said, but I say, because you were hearing the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, you have gone to Krishna Loka. So the words of a pure devotee never prove untrue. Just like whatever the Lord says, that will eventually come to pass. His pure representative, what he says, what he desires, what he predicts, that will happen. Because you were hearing the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, you have gone to Krishna Loka. So it's proved and tested, this process. So we would like that special kripa of the Lord to intervene, but we have to accept the gradual process. But even in the gradual process of devotional service, the Lord's mercy is there from the very beginning. Sarva dharmam padicca ja mamekam saranam braja aham tam sarva papebhyo moksis masucha. Who's that addressed to? The Uttamadhikari? The Madhyamadhikari? Not even the Kanishtha Adhikari. It's addressed to those who are contemplating Should I become a Hare Krishna? What are the benefits? Sarva dharmam pariccajamamekam. Just abandon all varieties of adharma, anything which is not connected with Krishna consciousness. Give up your sinful actions, your sinful ways. Meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling, these are four categories of sin. And what does Krishna say? My dear aspiring candidate, what will happen? I will protect you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. This is an impetus. The Lord is giving an impetus to those who are thinking, should I take up transcendental way of life? Lord says yes, because if you do, if you give up sin, I will protect you from those further reactions so that you can peacefully, without any obstacles, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. So this process is very nice because Lord is with us from day one. Actually, He's with us before day one because by His mercy, seeing our fallen condition in this world, He intervenes without even being asked. Brahmanda Brahmati Konya Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad Bhai Bhakti Lat Bij. We're wandering through the material creation from one universe to the next, from one species life, one body. By the mercy of the Lord, perhaps because of some agyat sukriti, some unknown devotional service in the past, we helped an old Mataji devotee across the road. We gave a devotee a deal in our store on something, identified agyat sukriti. We get the opportunity for devotional service in the future. The Lord intervened even before we began contemplating, should I become a devotee? Lord has already intervened. And He's there from the very beginning. So we don't have to wait long for the Lord's mercy, for the result of Krishna consciousness. A yogi or a jnani, they're all on their own from day one. Their yogic asanas in the Himalayas, their study of the Shastra, after many, many births, they start to get some benefits of that process. Krishna consciousness is so nice. Lord is with you from the very beginning. Like Prabhupada gave that analogy. He said, how do the different animals carry their young? He gave the example of the monkeys you see in Vrindavan, because here you don't see so many monkeys, thank the Lord. Monkeys are there in Vrindavan, and you see them running, jumping from tree to tree, and the babies hold on. Underneath, generally. Last week I saw a baby monkey. Mother was carrying, she took a big jump, and the baby... Of course, she kind of got up and mommy came and got him, but it's a close call. But the cat, when she carries her kittens, how does she carry the kittens? She's got her strong jaws. She locks them around that little soft skin on the neck and she picks them up and she walks and carries. It's more sure. So this process, if you're contemplating, yes, I want to become a transcendentalist. I'm frustrated with this material existence. So which process should I accept? Eeny, meeny, miny, moo. Yogi devotee, jnani, nagababa. No. It's not that all paths lead to the same goal. It's a science. If you accept this process of Krishna consciousness, from the very beginning, Lord is there. Just like there was once a boy, he was... at our gurukul here. There. That's the girls' school. It's the boys' school. So be careful. He was graduating from the school. So he was a little fearful of leaving Mayapur Dham, the shelter, the security, the spiritual atmosphere, and going out into the big, bad world. He was a little scared. So he went to Radha Madhava. And very humbly prayed, Madhava, please, I'm leaving Mayapur Dham. I'm going to the big bad world. I'm going to Mumbai. I'm going to go there and continue my studies and eventually have my career and marriage. And will you always help me? So Madhava spoke. Yes, my dear Prabhu, I'll always be there to protect you. The boy was stunned. Madhava spoke to him. Oh my gosh, Lord, you said you'll always be with me. How will I know you're there? I'm not very advanced. Haven't awoken my spiritual senses. How will I know you're there? Madhava said, you'll always know I'm there because wherever you go, you'll see my footprints in the sand. You just look wherever you go and you won't see me, but my mercy is that you'll see my footprints. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. You'll always be with me. And the graduation day came and he graduated and then boom, and he drove into Calgary and flew to Mumbai. Oh, my God. The material world is not like a pleasant spiritual atmosphere of Mayapur Dham. But wherever he was walking, he could see the footprints of the Lord in the ground. And so it was throughout his life. But there was one peculiar thing that happened. That whenever there was some dangerous situation, there was some, let us say, some tragedy in his life, the footprints disappeared. Somehow or other, he was able to get through it all. But he noted that every time there's some calamity in my life, where's Krishna? Madhava promised me he would be there. And I got through it on my own. Eventually, he became a pure devotee. Prabhupada told Bhavananda Prabhu that when the disciple goes back to the spiritual world, Lord is waiting for him. And when he greets you in the spiritual world, your guru takes your hand, he walks you into the kunja, the grove, and he puts your hand into the hand of Krishna and leaves you alone together. Special insight, mercy, Srila Prabhupada's mercy. The boy returned. He saw Krishna. Krishna, Madhava, oh, I'm so happy to see you. Oh, I welcome you back to the kingdom of God. Punarjanma na vidyate. Having once returned here, you'll never return to the material world. Once a disciple asked Prabhupada, when we get back to the spiritual world, do we remember that we were in the material world? But yes, like nightmare. You don't want to go back to sleep. Tamas, ignorance. Lord, I have one question. When I was a little boy in Mayapur and I went in the temple room and I prayed to you that I'm leaving Mayapur and going out into the world. You said you would protect me. And I asked you, I said, how will I know you're there? And you said you had footprints. And everywhere I went in life, I saw the footprints. But whenever there was a problem, there was only my footprints in the sand. Where were you? The Lord smiled. Beautiful lotus eyes and his lips red like the bimba fruit, his teeth set like rows of pearls, sweet ignatic smile. Said, my devotee, try to understand. Yes, I was always there. Whenever there was difficulty, I would pick you up and put you on my shoulders and walk you through the danger. So what you saw were not your footprints. They were my footprints in the land. Shishi Radha Madhava Ki. So Lord is always there, whether we can see Him or not, from the very beginning. Sarva Dharmam Parichaja. He removes the obstacles on the path of devotional service. He's with us from the very beginning. No harm in accepting the gradual path of devotional service. Particularly the path, that part of the process which is recommended by Lord Brahma today. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam. This is the 9 processes of devotional service as enunciated by the great Mahajan Prahlad Maharaj. Whenever you have a number of things you want to stress, you put the first one first. First things first. What is the very first item in the process of devotional service? Shravanam, and then Kirtanam. And then Vishnu Smaranam. Shravana means hearing. Hearing what? I like to hear so many. No, Shabda Brahma. You hear transcendental sounds. Specifically, you hear those sound vibrations which are glorification of the Supreme Lord. By doing that hearing process, Krishna's also helping you. How? Shrinvatam svakata Krishna punya shravanam kirtanam. Hridayantash daryabhadrani vinotnati shrutim satam. See, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment in the heart of the devotee who has also developed the urge to hear his messages, which are themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. When Krishna sees you're chanting very nicely, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. He does the cleansing work, taking pity on you. Because to remove those anarthas is not a very easy thing. They've been with us since time immemorial. Just like you try to clean a pot, you know, a pot that you've burned the milk. You can clean the upper, but you try to clean the bottom of that pot, what happens? You get that brush, right? And you screw them, and then you throw in the thing. Hard to cleanse the heart of the deep anarthas that are there. Even Prahlad Maharaj, it's stated right there in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam. That when finally he came before Lord Nrisimhadeva, after Hiranyakashipu had been killed and Prahlad came forward, Bhagavatam says, Shukadeva Goswami says, Lord Nrisimhadeva put his hand on Prahlad's head, purifying him of any last subtle remnants of material desire. It's not any Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sadurlabha. Krishna, after many, many births, one who is in full knowledge surrenders unto me. It is a gradual path. There's some which are a little easy to get rid of, like the desire, the hankering for money and wealth. Even we've seen yogis overcome public enemy number one, sex desire. But the desire for pratishtha, fame, Mahaprabhu also mentioned, this is difficult. I remember in Kumbh Mela, the big Kumbh Mela some 20 years ago, I was so impressed with the renunciation of the yogis and the knowledge of the jnanis and the penance and austerities. Then I saw them riding on the big elephants at the Kumbh Mela parade. And somehow I could sense that the yogi was, yes, yes, yes. And I thought, wow, he's free from the desire for material possessions and he's free from sex desire. But I could see there was some desire there to be worshipped. This is very difficult to get rid of, this pratishtha, this desire for fame. So to really do it, we can't do it on our own, really. It all comes by the mercy of the Lord. So this verse says, when the Lord sees that the devotee is eager to hear his messages, he cleanses that desire for material enjoyment from the heart. And then what happens? It gives it the possibility for pure devotional service to come about. Our goal is not to become purified of material desires. Our goal is to engage in devotional service. But you can't serve the Lord properly when you have material desires, as Jesus said. You cannot serve God. You cannot serve mammon and God simultaneously. It's one or the other. As Jesus said, you're either with me or you're against me. So there comes a time in our devotional service when all those selfish desires are finished from the heart. Then, in that healthy condition, we begin to serve the Lord. At that point, Prabhupada says in the purport, something very mystical happens. You become attached to a particular form of the Lord and a particular type of devotional service. It's not that, you know, we can pick and choose at some particular stage. I think I'm a Kurma Bhakta. I think I'm a Varaha Bhakta. No, I'm a Shringa Bhakta. No, I'm Ram Bhakta. No. At this stage, you don't know these things. This comes at a very advanced stage of doing. For now, we're just bhaktas. We're devotees of God. We're devotees of Krishna. Which form you're attracted to, that will be revealed in due course of time. And there are many forms. Ete chamsa kalo pumsha krishnashtu bhagavan swayam indriya vyakalam lokam vidayunte juge juge. All the above mentioned forms, Shukadeva Goswami says, are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions. But krishnashtu bhagavan swayam, Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All the forms mentioned in this chapter, incarnations of Godhead and Bhagavatam, all of them incarnate, Shukadeva Goswami says, in the material world whenever there's a disturbance created by the asuras. And all these forms of Godhead, they all have their planets in the spiritual sky. You see the picture on the Bhagavatam. There's the different planets. The different forms of the Lord are there. And they all have their bhaktas. Unlimited forms of the Lord, unlimited bhaktas, that's all. But again, coming from Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. So you may wonder. We can get a general idea, though. We can kind of focus in by the mercy of Prabhupada. He said, generally those who are attracted to the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya, generally they're devotees who are aspiring for association with the Lord in Vrindavan, in particular in the mood of Madhurya Ras. That's evident because of the teachings that we receive from the intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya, like Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami. Particularly, we are known as Rupanugas. And everyone knows, sitting in this tent, that Rupa Goswami taught us the very science of understanding the deep devotional mellows of conjugal love for the Lord, as experienced by the gopis in Vrindavan. So Prabhupada said, generally, those who are attracted to this movement, they will have the same. That's a general statement. And also it's quite clear because, you know, you achieve the result of the mantra that you chant. There's many mantras in Vedic culture. But by chanting that mantra, you develop a particular mood for the deity present in that mantra. What mantra are we chanting? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So, but if you're very convinced you're not Krishna Bhakta, you want to be Ram Bhakta, then you should start chanting Raghupati Raghava Raja. Go to Ayodhya. No, actually Prabhupada said the word Rama can indicate Lord Ram, Balaram, the pleasure potency of the Lord. And we see that within the Krishna conscious movement as it began 500 years ago, there's room for devotees who are attracted to other incarnations as well. Some of Lord Chaitanya's most intimate associates were in fact devotees of Vaikuntha deities. Murari Gupta, he was a Ram Bhakta. No matter how much the devotees tried to convince him otherwise, he couldn't change his heart. And Lord Chaitanya was not displeased with that. He was very pleased. Anupam. There was Rup, Sanatan, and Anupam. Anupam, who gave up his earthly pastimes when he was early in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, he was a Ram Bhakta as well. Other devotees tried to convince him. Lord Chaitanya said no. Because variety is the spice of life. And in the spiritual world, there's all varieties of incarnations and devotees and devotional sentiments. And even ourselves who may be aspiring for the worship of Lord Chaitanya or Radha and Krishna, it's not that we limit ourselves just to hearing their pastimes. We like to hear about all the incarnations or even Krishna outside of Vrindavan on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Just like your father. You're the son. You have a very familiar relationship, but you like to hear about what your dad does at the office, what he does on the sports field. Anything that's connected with your father, because you love him, you're interested. So a true devotee, he'll show interest in all of the Lord's activities, but he'll reserve a special part of his heart for a particular form of the Lord, particular mood of the Lord. As he expresses himself in that way more and more, the Lord begins to reciprocate with him in that way. Again, this is very advanced stage we can't jump over, but it's there. It's waiting for us. But because we know the conclusion, we can pray accordingly. That's why Prabhupada established all these Vrindavan deities all over the world. So we can expect, we can hope that we can, this will be our mood, and we can conclude our time on this earth, become Krishna conscious that way, and because of that love, be transferred to that particular planet where the Lord is performing those pastimes, be trained in that mood, and then back home, back to Godhead. We worship other deities just like we worship Nisringa. But we're not necessarily Nisringa Bhaktas. He's a Vaikuntha deity. Raghunath Das Goswami prays, giving up the prostitutes of friendship with non-devotees, prostitutes who will steal the treasure of your heart, don't listen to the words of the tigress of impersonal liberation, which devours everyone. Give up attraction for Lord Narayan, which leads to the world of Vaikuntha. O mind, in Vraja, worship Sri Sri Radha Krishna, the two philanthropists who give away the jewel of pure love. This is the path of devotional service that we're being encouraged in. Why do we have Narasimha Bhagavan there? Again, we're not capable of tearing those material desires, which at this point, this stage of our devotional service, are the real obstacles to our devotion to Krishna, whatever form it may take. So, ito nishinga, but ito nishinga, yato imita, hrida nishinga. And shinga's in the heart, so we ask him to, just like he tore out the heart of Hiranyakashipu and threw it to the other side of the ham, please tear out my heart, my heart's desires to enjoy lust, anger, and greed. Really, we're worshipping Lord Nisringadev so that he'll bless us with pure devotional service to Radha Madhava. How is that clear? By our great Acharya Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In one of his prayers, he prays, I am rolling on the ground in ecstatic love of Godhead at the threshold to the palace of that lion god, Narasimhadev, half man, half lion, at Devapali. He says, praying to that Narasimha Bhagavan to please tear from my heart those obstacles to pure devotion to my beloved Radha and Madhava. These things are embarrassing. We want to serve Radha and Madhava. What's embarrassing? The obstacle that we place between ourselves and them, lust, anger, and greed. Narasimha, he says, you please remove those obstacles so my service will be pleasing to the divine couple. So in that way we can understand how we worship and respect and honor all incarnations of the Lord. But like our predecessor acharyas, we're following in the steps of this raga marg, this spontaneous devotion, this prem bhakti mood of pure devotional service to the Lord, which will be revealed to us in due course of time, at the proper time, by the mercy of those acharyas and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And how does it begin? Prabhupada said, the most important instruction a spiritual master gives is to chant 16 attentive rounds of the Maha Mantra every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Bhagavan Narasimhadev ki, Sri Panchatattva ki, Sri Sri Radha Madhava Astasakis ki, Sri Mayapur Dham ki, Gopi Manandi. Hare Krishna. Thank you.